Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Hello, welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and I'm excited for another great episode. With me today is Chris Adams. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good today, Todd. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. So I wanted to bring Chris onto the show because he has been in real estate. He's been running his own deal really since 18. Is that right, Chris? Right around 18?
Yeah, 18. That's when I first got into business. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris started as a real estate agent right out of high school, working through the summers and through the school year to make some extra income to pay for college, and ended up doing more than just making a few extra bucks. Now Chris, he has his own brokerage, the Adams Family Brokerage, and he is just crushing it in that. So Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit more about how you got started and what you're doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I was, like you mentioned there, I was 18 years old, and I had a couple friends who were selling real estate at a super young age, and they were actually going to school at some local private schools here, colleges in the Twin Cities. And they were going to school playing hockey and also selling real estate. And I got talking with them, and you know, I heard a few of them made, one guy made about $30,000 his first year in the business. And I said, well, if he can make that kind of money, and that guy did, I should probably look into this at least. So I made my mind up that I was going to come down before my freshman year at Augsburg here for college. And I got done with my licensing, got finished up hockey season in the spring that same year, and somehow sold the house before summer even started, made about $4,500. And I said, you know what, that's more money than all my friends who are going to go home and work for the rest of the summer. So never looked back since then.
Awesome. So yeah, $4,500 on one sale. That's kind of nice, right?
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah. I think I worked my butt off doing construction, which was great. You know, a great learning experience. I definitely wouldn't take it back, but I worked my butt off all summer to make, I made good money. I maybe made 10 grand, but $4,500 on one sale.
Yeah.
30 grand in a summer definitely beats the pants out of what I did.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you doing right now then, Chris?
Yeah. So, you know, ever since then, it's been, I think, the start of my 14th year this year here. And really kind of been focusing on the business. I ended up going to grad school after I went to got my undergrad out of the way, and it was a crossover with an MBA program and also a master's in real estate from St. Thomas here out of St. Paul. So ended up doing that. I wrapped that up, and you know, I've really been looking at everything I do with a business perspective, and I figured the best thing to do from here is, you know, obviously work on the business and figure out all these systems and processes. And then it came to the point where 1 year I ended up doing, I think it was 37 deals by myself, and, you know, just was getting my assistant up and running that year. And, you know, my son was probably about 2 years old at the time, and I was probably working like 60 to 80 hours a week trying to do that many deals. And we kept having referrals that would come in, and it came to the point where I had to either build a team out or else I'd have to work with less clients. But we had, you know, probably somewhere between about 70 to 80% referrals for our business that we do on my real estate team on the residential side. So I said, well, next best thing, I don't want to say no to people. So we started working on building out the team. And right now we just added two more buyer specialists to my team. So we actually have me, who's primarily the listing agent. And then we've got four buyer specialists on my team, and then our administrative assistant who helps run the business too.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about that, about building your business, because I'm assuming you didn't just start as a broker right away. Actually, I know you didn't, because you can't. So let's talk about kind of that progression. How did you go? How did you decide to go from an agent to a broker and to going from, you know, where you started, where you're just probably comfortable making commissions for somebody else, to where now you're running the show? How did you make that mind shift?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the tough things. Actually, I kind of got thrown into it. The company I was working for a long time ago was just a small little brokerage, and our broker for the real estate side of the business, when I was 2 years into it, so about 12 years ago, he ended up leaving for a better opportunity. And at that point in time, there was four or five agents left at our office, and we didn't have a brokerage. So I forget how long it is in Minnesota. They give you a certain number of months where you have to replace with a new broker. So the current owner of the company was also a mortgage lender. So at the time, there was no way he could have his mortgage license and a broker's license for real estate running those two companies. So he said, "Chris, you're the one I trust the most here. I need you to go get your broker's license." So I said, "Well, all right, I suppose I can do that. I'm 20 at the time." And I went out, I got my broker's license, helped him run that business probably for about a year, year and a half or so. And then I kind of realized, you know what, there's a, you know, for me being 20 and having three, four people underneath me, I was like, you know, there's probably a lot of liability out there that I'm really not aware of, because we didn't have anywhere close to the systems and processes like I've got for my team to make sure that, you know, we're providing consistent service for our clients and doing things the right way. So, you know, I actually went off on my own. I said, "Hey, you know, thanks for the opportunity." And I went to another small brokerage and, you know, just kept building the business. And it was one of those things where I really didn't go looking to say, "Hey, yeah, absolutely, I want to start a team." It was just the progression of, you know, leads that were coming in and referrals that were coming in. I got so big that I had to build the team out. And now that's kind of where my mind shift really started to focus and say, "All right, we got to figure out how to run this thing like a business and make sure that, you know, I think that very first hire that you make, it's a tough thing to do mentally because, you know, you got to set aside a certain amount of money for the year." But I had a real estate coach that was saying, "You know what, don't look at that as an investment for the whole year, that you just break that investment down by month." And then it helped me really look and say, "You know what, I can handle this expense that's going to be there." And it was one of the best things I ever did in my real estate career was hiring my first assistant.
Yeah, I think that goes for any business owner, right? It's always hard to make that first hire, that first true person that's going to really help you out, because you're looking at your income going, "Boy, man, if I hire somebody full time, I got to pay them, I got to do this, and I'm only making this amount of money, and do I really want to do that? Maybe I can just, you know, play it safe and keep doing this for a few more years." But yep. My guess is when you made that hire, you found that things really picked up from there. Is that right?
Yeah, things definitely picked up from there. You know, I think one of the biggest things that helped me make this decision too is I'm a super big learner, love to read. I read this book called The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, written by Gary Keller. And he also has another great book called The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, which I just read too. And it really helps you kind of lay the ground foundation for what your business has to look like before you start building it upwards. So it was a really good book for me to read. And, you know, that was probably one of the best things to start figuring out what is the first couple things you need to start working on to really build this machine, right? and the biggest thing from there is, you know, that is just focusing on the leads. Consistent flow of leads is the biggest thing you have to do. It's figuring out where that's coming from. And then number two is actually committing the time every single day to follow up on those leads.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. How do you achieve that in your brokerage?
Yeah. You know, so we actually have a nice little sheet that we use. It's actually sitting on my desk right here next to me. We call it our daily points of rhythm is what we call it, or our daily success tracker. And there's certain things that we know that we need to do, because when we're tracking for anybody on our team, we like to track. We usually start with, all right, what is the number of transactions you want to do this year? Or what is the gross dollar amount of commissions you want to bring into yourself? So once we get one of those two numbers or both of them, that's when we can really start dissecting things for each one of our agents, including myself, and then figure out, all right, how many appointments do we need to go on every single year And then we break that all the way down to per week. So for us, most of our goals are sitting somewhere between about 30 to 40 transactions a year. And we know that based upon our conversion ratios, it takes us about 2 appointments a week per new person that we're going to meet per week, you know, to put in the pipeline before we're going to end up hitting that kind of 30 to 40 transactions at the end of the year. But then we break that down even further to make sure that we're doing the right things every single day. We've got a call sheet that we put here where, you know, we've got goals to make at least 15 calls a day and contact at least 7 to 10 different people, depending upon the number of deals you want to do a year. And we break that all the way down to even meeting with like a referral partner for lunch, something like that. So we get points for that, making sure that we're doing the right thing every day.
Cool. And so do you hold your agents accountable on that, or do you just kind of let them fly by the seat of their pants?
Yeah, no, accountability is the biggest thing for us. And you know, we're not quite the type of accountability where we're looking over your shoulder, making sure you're doing the right thing. But, we kind of incentivize this a little bit too for each one of our agents where, our whole goal is every single day is to get 40 points from Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, you can roll some points backwards into that. But what we end up doing is every single Monday, we go through, you know, our sheets in front of each other to make sure that we all did what we were supposed to do to hold each other accountable. And then every single Tuesday on our sheets that we track, they meet with our administrative assistant and they go through the number of new appointments they set for the week and the lead source, the date that they met them. And then also any of the new prospects. So if they came from any referral sources, if they ended up coming from our online lead generation that we do through one of our pay-per-click advertising websites and also Zillow, and then we make sure that they get put into our CRMs, right, to make sure that we're following up with them. So we've got a pretty nice little process set up for that.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds like you've got a pretty good system. What other kind of systems do you have in place that help with your success and your agents' success?
Yeah, you know, I think one of our biggest things that we try to do here at our office is, you know, referrals is our number one source of business. Like I mentioned before, we're depending upon the year, anywhere from 70 to 80%. So just to give you a quick example, the way we like to stay in front of our clients is we don't like to call them. We try to call them four times a quarter, but we don't like calling them and saying, "Hey, Todd, how are you doing today? We closed your house with you last year. Just wondering if you know anybody that's looking to buy or sell." We don't really like doing those phone calls. So what we ended up doing this summer, what we like to always try to do is provide a little bit of value when we're calling clients. So we threw a big customer appreciation party this summer, and we invited all of our clients. We actually rented out a riverboat for the Minneapolis River here. The Mississippi River, called the Minneapolis Queen. We rented that out, and you know, we had a little musician that was playing on there, just a solo guitar acoustic player, and he was singing some songs. And then, you know, we provided a little bit of dinner, and we just got to catch up with all of our clients. But that's a lot more fun phone call to make to say, "Hey, you know what, we're inviting you to one of the events that we're doing. We just really appreciate doing business with you." And people understand at that point in time, and they go back and they talk to their friends at work or whoever it is, family, and they say, "Hey, you know what, guess what my realtor did for us, or guess what they're doing for us." So that's the way that we like to get referral business.
Well, I think, you know, that's a fantastic way. So I appreciate you saying that. I mean, 70 to 80% of your business is through referrals, probably repeat customers as well. And just value add. So instead of, like you said, instead of calling them up, asking them for more business or asking them for referrals, you're basically doing something good for them, doing something that adds value to them. And they're going to naturally just give referrals because of you. I guarantee most of those people, when they think of a real estate agent, when their friend or family members, you know, going to list, you're probably one of the people that they're talking about. So,
yeah,
you know, and I think you've got, you know, you've got every business has its own kind of difficulties on how we can expand and how we can continue growing business. And I would say real estate, one of the hardest things is it seems like everybody knows a real estate agent, right? It seems like everybody has a cousin or a friend or whatever, a family member that's a real estate agent. So setting yourself up, why would they use you versus somebody else that they know. And I think that's great. I mean, those contacts. So you said you contact them how many times typically a year?
You know, that's phone calls. So we try to do 4 phone calls a year.
Okay.
Yep. And then we send out 4 quarterly newsletters as well. Okay. That's hard mailing. And then we also send out handwritten thank you cards every single Christmas is what we send them out, just saying, hey, thanks for doing business with us. Hope you and your family have a great holiday season. Don't put any business cards or anything in there, right? Just leave it real personal. And and then we also send out magnets all the time. So for the sports team. So, you know, we do the Minnesota Twins for baseball here and the Vikings for football and then the Wild for hockey. So we send those out just so we're staying up on people's refrigerators when we're there. And it's pretty amazing when I end up going into a house 3-4 years down the road and, you go in there for a list appointment or whatever it happens to be. And they've got your card up on a calendar stuck to the refrigerator. So.
Yeah, that's cool. So you're touching them probably at least a dozen times in a year.
Yeah, we're probably upwards of like 24 to 30 times a year, because one of the other additional things we do is we've got this nice little automated program that gets set up. So say, for example, I helped you purchase a property. What it ends up doing then is we set it up on once a month. It would automatically send you a report that will show you right around your immediate area, anywhere between a point 5 to 0.75 mile radius right around your house. It'll show you all the current active pending and sold listings, and it'll give you 4 projections on what the market's doing. Is it going up? Is it going down? It tells you, the percent of original list price to sales price. So it gives some nice little data on a quick little, where you open up your email. You can look at it for 1-2 seconds to know exactly what's happening in your market, close it down, and have a pretty good idea of what your neighbor might have just sold their house for.
Wow, that's great. So all of this, being able to reach out to everybody and get these referrals, have you tracked how much that's been costing you on a monthly basis?
Yeah, on a monthly basis. I mean, a lot of this stuff is pretty automated for the most part. I think our biggest expense that we end up having are, like the parties that we end up throwing for our clients, our customer appreciation parties. Like our riverboat one that we did this summer, that was pushing $5,000 to rent out a big riverboat and, supply dinner for all of our clients. So I think that's probably our biggest budget that we have there as far as actually meeting with clients. And, we're doing another one. We like to do one in the summer and another one in the around Christmas if we can. So we're doing one coming up here on December 2nd, where we're just renting out the back room of a little local establishment there. And we're bringing in our guitar player again, and we're doing a little Toys for Tots drive, and we're going to provide them with dinner. So I'm just going to catch up with them before the swing of the holidays get going.
Yeah, it's, it's funny that your conversation here reminds me of a book I read, and it was about a real estate agent, but it was specifically just about, how do you work on your referrals? And they mentioned kind of a lot of this type of thing and how a lot of people are in a business and they're not reaching out to the referrals. And then they get mad that their friends, family, or other contacts aren't choosing them to do business with, and they're pissed off at about it, and they don't get it. Like, and I think it was a Robert Kiyosaki quote. He mentioned one of his, he was at a party and this real estate agent was there, and he said, how are you doing? She said, well, not so good. This was during the crash, not so good. Business is horrible. And she said, well, how are you doing? He says, great, great. I'm buying a lot of properties. She said, oh, why didn't you reach out to me? And he said, why didn't you reach out to me? I didn't know you were still in business.
Yeah.
And so I think it's great what you're doing is just constantly contacting your referrals and getting more referrals through that. And of course, then those are constant contacts and continuing to go. And it sounds like you've got it pretty automated, which is fantastic. That's otherwise it would be, I would think, amazing amount of work.
Yeah, it's pretty automated. But, real quick, one thing on that, that's really helped in the last 2-3 years with our referrals. Say, for example, you happen to call me and say, hey, Chris, I just want to let my brother or sister's moving to town. And you know, just I sent your information over to them. And by the time we connect, as soon as we have that first meeting, what I end up doing is I send a handwritten card to whoever sent me the referral and just say, hey, thanks. You really appreciate the referral. When we get them under contract, we call that referral source again and say, hey, just want to let you know we found your brother or sister house. Really wanted to say thanks for sending them off to us. And then as soon as we close on the property, we're sending them another phone call or a handwritten letter saying, hey, we just closed on them. We really want to appreciate you. You know, you sending us business, it really helps us. And cool. So we really try to hammer, you know, the relationship aspect of the business any way we can. And we don't like to just be, you know, a realtor either. We let all of our clients know, you know, for example, we had one that just reached out to us because they were wondering if we happened to have somebody that we knew that installed carpet, right? So they reach out to us for things like that. So yeah. They don't just think of us as realtors. They're like, oh, you know what? Chris and his team, they're going to take care of us. And there's a good chance that they know somebody that can help us with almost anything we need revolving around the house.
Well, the great thing with that is you're providing a solid service for them. But the other thing you're also doing is you're getting on the carpet guy's list. You know, yep. the carpet guy says, hey, you know, a real estate agent. And he goes, well, you know, yeah, Chris is always doing deals. He's always sending me people. I know this guy's a big hitter. So you get on his list, you get on the mortgage person's list, you get on all these other people's lists of you're that person. So by having good relationships throughout the industry, you're definitely a step ahead of most agents. So let's talk about some of your mistakes. Let us know, what's one of the biggest mistakes and how did you actually learn from it and come out of it better?
Oh, I'd have to think about that one for a while. I've made, unfortunately, a lot of mistakes. but, you know, one of the things, we were just talking about this at our team meeting this morning here. And I got to read this quote to you that I don't know who said it. I forgot which podcast I might have been listening to as well here. But, you know, we're always talking about being able to fail. It's okay, you know, because we always set big goals on my team. And the quote was something along the lines of, the ability to analyze and correctly apply the lessons of failure is the secret to business or life success. So that was great because we're always saying, hey, you know what, it's okay to fail. But we have to go back and take a look at that failure and say, what can we do right next time and figure out how to move forward quicker, better, more efficiently, whatever it happens to be, provide a better service for the clients, right? So that's one of the things that we try to do on our team all the time. But, you know, I guess one of the biggest failures that I've had is I know for a fact I've let a lot of money go out the window before we had all these systems and processes in place because, you know, just like you were talking about the Robert Kiyosaki thing, I've had those calls with clients, unfortunately, you know, where we didn't have all these systems and processes in place and you call them and you're talking to them and next thing you know, they say, hey, I just bought a new house last week. And it's like, oh my gosh, I completely should have been following up with this client a little more,
right?
You know, so that's a lot of the little ones that end up happening in this field. So that's why we really tried to be very intentional about staying in front of our clients.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's so easy to do is just, you know, you're busy, you're doing other things and just forgetting that you got to take care of the people that have already fed you.
Yep.
And they're probably your best source. So what's one success story then?
Oh, you know, I think my biggest success story, honestly, would have to be starting the real estate team because it really was starting to get to be a grind, especially when I had one kid there. I you know, I've got two now and the third one on the way in January here. And it was one of them things where it was like, you know what, you know, yeah, you can make a lot of money in this business and you're working 60 to 80 hours a week, especially in your busy months, and you don't have any time for the family. And by the time you get to hang out with them, you got to get back on the computer or on the phone and start working again. And you wake up and you do that Monday through Sunday. It was really starting to be a grind. So I said, I got to figure out how to build this team out. And it's probably been one of the most rewarding things for me and probably one of the scariest things at the same time, mm-hmm. Especially bringing in, you know, an assistant on right away. It was one of them deals where, you know, I'm kind of one of them guys that's super type A. I like to plan everything out on spreadsheets. And And I was like, wow, there's going to be a lot of money going out the door, and I got to make sure that I'm not just providing for my family anymore. I got to help provide for someone else's. So, and I kind of get that, I don't even know what you call it, nervous, anxious feeling every time I bring a new team member on. Because I'm like, you know what, I got to be able to provide for not everybody else that's here, but the new person that's coming in, right?
Right.
It's been very rewarding to be able to, help our agents out. And I'm on my team, we're, first year into the business, they're averaging anywhere from 20 to 30 deals in their very first year with us. So it's pretty nice to be able to, pass leads on and my experience and really help them kind of thrive, in their own little mini business they're running underneath my team.
So, did you notice when you first brought on your assistant, you're always scared that you're making $100,000 and you bring somebody on, you're paying them, let's say $40,000. And now all of a sudden you're nervous that you're going to be now only making $60,000. Did you notice a drop in your income or an increase, or did it stay the same that first year when you brought that assistant in?
Yeah, that first year, I think I increased my sales by probably about 13 transactions. But the best thing, in addition to the extra income that came in, was how much more family time I was able to have, which was pretty great, because, that's one of the biggest things they say is you start looking at what are the high dollar producing activities, that business people need to be working on. And when you really break it down to it in this business, it's being in front of customers, whether you're on the phone, sitting in front of them, explaining a contract or, negotiating a deal. That's where you want to spend about 80% of your time. So it was nice that I started to be able to focus on that and free up a lot more time to, number one, make money, and number two, have more time with the family.
Cool. So if you did 13 more transactions, you at least broke even with the assistant.
Yeah.
And then you were able to spend a ton more time at home as well. So
yep,
chalk that up as a win, right?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And it probably then helped you even expand even further as you continue to go, I'm assuming. And now that you've got these other team members, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but now that you got these other team members, you're probably making even more money than you were when it was just Chris.
Yes. Yeah, that's for sure. The way that we ended up working it out is we were kind of looking at some of the bigger teams that are out there nationwide. And I've got a real estate coach as well. So, one of the things that we worked on was trying to figure out how we're going to consistently have right around 30 leads per agent, per month. And then as soon as you start hitting an additional 30 leads that's sitting out there at that point in time, it's time to bring somebody on. So we've kind of got a pretty good system down for saying, all right, here's our lead flow, here's where we're going, and here's approximately when we're going to need to bring somebody on. So we try to stay in front of that as much as possible.
Perfect. So let's talk about, you have a coach. What are some of the essential people that have kind of helped you get to where you're at and are continuing to help you grow?
Yeah, I think probably at the company that I'm at now, I've been here for 10 years. I've got my broker's license, but I operate under, a big brokerage name here in the Twin Cities called MLS Online, is where I'm out of. So, my office manager was the first guy who really actually sat me down and trained me in, because, in this business, a lot of people kind of just say, hey, you make it through real estate school, you go hang your license somewhere, and they tell you to start dialing everybody and anybody you know. So that's kind of the way that I grinded it out, doing open houses and everything as much as I possibly could my first few years in the business. I sat down, the guy's name is Jeff Kendall. I sat down with him, and he was kind of training me in on some of the ways that he did business and was successful. And I think one of the best things that I learned was putting together a little buyer's packet of information, seeing that I was still pretty young at the time, when I really started picking up with business there. And the best part about going through a buyer's packet of info that we do, it just really covers three different things, right? It covers the home buying process, some local market data, and a few pages of the purchase agreement. And then it really, when you meet with clients and you go through that, it doesn't matter if you're young or, you've got gray hair, whatever it happens to be, they really look at you like a professional, and you kind of get over any of those barriers you might have, because they say, this person really knows what they're talking about. So that was a really good thing with me. And then, you know, one of the other things he helped me probably the very next year, you know, he knew I was a pretty ambitious, you know, younger person. And he said, hey, what are your goals? And I was like, well, I don't know. I really haven't really thought about them. That's when he said, you know what, let's come sit down with me for half an hour. We'll set some goals. We'll figure out how many buy sides you want to do, how many sell sides you want to do. And I think that year I set my goal at like 24 or something like that. And I ended up doing 27 or 28. So it just helped me be really intentional. That's one of the big things that we try to break down at our office when we're setting those goals is we like to say, okay, how many do you want to do at the end of the year, right? And then we break it all the way down to how many do we want to do per quarter, per month, per week. And that really helps us because, you know, it seems like your mind, you know, if I say, hey, Todd, let's hang out next month, you're like, great, call me a week beforehand and we'll make sure it's on the schedule, right? Yeah. So we like to get down to kind of as narrow as we can at the bottom of the funnel there and try to figure out what we need to be doing right now to make sure we're going to hit those goals.
Cool. Any other essential people that you can think of that are leading you right now or have led you in the past or role models, whatever you want to call it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of them that are out there, like the Gary Keller book, you know, he's fantastic. And then Tom Ferry is another big one that we really like. Travis Robertson's another big trainer that we coached under as well. You know, we're still with the same coach that actually went to both of those programs and real good guy. He's just a guy that helps me stay accountable. And he's a guy that's not afraid to tell me, hey, you know what, you need to work on this. And if he has to call BS on something that we're not working on, he'll certainly let me know. So it's good to have that accountability and that extra, you know, because we're so busy, you know, a lot of times working in the business that it's nice to have an outside perspective of somebody else that's coaching these top, you know, agents around the Twin Cities and throughout the United States they coach. And just to be able to tell you and say, hey, you know what, here's what you're working on. Here's what I'm seeing, but here's really what you need to do.
Cool. What's your favorite book? Real estate or business related?
Yeah, my favorite book. I've got my bookshelf behind me here and I've got a pile of books on them. But, you know, if I had to pick one, that's probably been, you know, the biggest and probably most influential for helping us stay on task with things, probably goes down to two of them. One is The Miracle Morning. Fantastic book. It really helped me, you know, understand because, you know, any sales job you get into is kind of a grind. And it's tough, you know, every single day you have your ups, your downs every month, every week, right? But it really helped me say, all right, what is your morning supposed to look like? And the whole point of this book was, you know, at the beginning of it, you know, they say there's a little acronym, fancy acronym they have that's called SAVERS. So their suggestion is that, you know, you start out with scribing is what they call it for the S there, right? And that's basically just writing down something that, you know, you're thankful for whatever it happens to be. And then saying affirmations, I know that's probably kind of overused in the business a lot, but they really help you. Affirmations and visualizing is the next one. And then exercise reading. I forget what the last one is, but you know, it's their little acronym that they use and it kind of helps you get your day set up. And you know, their whole purpose of that is you start your day right. And that'll help you own your day, your week, your month, and your life, right?
Cool.
Yep. So that's been really good. And then other than that, I think the big one that got us really dialed in here in the last couple of years that we read was The One Thing, another Gary Keller book. And, you know, it really drilled it down to what is the most important thing for anything you're doing in your job, which for us, you know, it comes all the way down to phone calls, making sure that we're doing them and then, you know, figuring out our conversion rates to set those appointments with clients. But it also helps on the big team aspect of things when you're building the business, because when you're sitting down with the team, you guys can set what we do is we set our one thing that we want to do for the week. You know, when if you keep doing that every single week, that gives you, you know, somewhere right around 40 to kind of 50. And we don't get everything done every single week, but that gives us 40 to 50 new things that happened that we really focused on our, you know, in our business. And it really helps move you forward.
Awesome. Yeah, I've never read The Miracle Morning. That sounds good. I agree. I mean, there's so many distractions. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, run a business, it's so easy to. It's just so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to get you know, there's just so many emotions running into it. You know, you got a good month, you get a bad month, you got a good week, you get a bad week. And it's so easy to go, geez, you know, what am I doing? What am I doing this for? You know, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's fantastic. I'll have to pick up that book. Last question. What is your definition to the secret of financial freedom?
Oh, my secret to financial freedom. You know, my definition of what that would be to me, you know, I guess the biggest thing is being able to do kind of whatever you want, whenever you want. That's one of the biggest things that I've been focusing on the last couple of years here, especially with building the team out. You know, it's different for everybody, right? The biggest thing that I have to work on now is residual income, you know, so I can not just run the real estate business, but I'd love to get back into the residential investing like we've chatted about a few times, you know, to get some of that residual income coming in. But, you know, to me, I don't know if there's a dollar amount on it. I think it's probably just a number that we end up setting that says, hey, our bills are covered. And if you want to take off for a month and go golfing and take the families with and go on a big vacation, I think something like that would be pretty great in my mind, where you could just take off for a month and know that your business is going to run on the back end. So, you know, I think that's probably a combination of, you know, the residual coming in and the processes on the back end, making sure that when you come back, your business is still going to be running.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm reading The E-Myth. Have you ever read that book?
You know, I almost bought that this morning, to tell you the truth, but I logged in and there was like on Amazon on the Audible section, and there was probably about 10 different versions of it. So I was like, I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. I think mine's the, it's right here. The E-Myth Revisited, right here, right. This one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get after that.
So I like it because that's what he talks about a lot in this book, and I'm about halfway through, but they talk about, you know, running your business like it's going to be a franchise. Whether you make it a franchise or not, it doesn't matter, but having the systems in place, understanding every little aspect of that business, and then having that big, clear vision, you know, what is it actually looking like? And this is what I talk about, that with that, how you said you can leave for a month and it's not just going to all fall apart and crumble. When you get back, you got to pick up the pieces and try to start over again. That's not the goal if you're going to truly build a real business.
Yep.
So I think that's fantastic. Well, Chris, I appreciate your time. One last thing before we leave, how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, they, you know, if they want, I'm a real kind of open kind of person, so I don't even mind if they call me on my cell phone, which is 612-202-0530. Otherwise, they can find us on Facebook and just, you know, type in, or Zillow, wherever it is. If they just type in Chris Adams, Adams Family Real Estate Group, they'll be able to find me pretty easily.
Do you have a webpage?
Yeah, it's just adamsmovesyou.com.
Adamsmovesyou.com.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So Adam moves you. All right. We'll put that all in the show notes too. Anything you want to add?
No, I don't think so. Other than that, kind of looking forward to ice fishing season here.
It's coming soon. It's been cold, man. It's been cold.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, you have a fantastic rest of the day, and I appreciate you being on the show.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Hey, a special thanks for Chris Adams joining us on the show. I appreciate him taking his time out of the day. And a couple actionable steps that I took from this podcast, which I thought were fantastic, is one, 70 to 80% of Chris's business comes from referrals. And that's going to be the same for any business, real estate investing, my business. No matter what you're doing, your business is coming from your in-network, is coming from your referrals. And those referrals create new referrals that continue to create more referrals. So most of your business is coming from those referrals. So build that. And you know, what he's doing is a very, very referral and connect type business. But even if you're doing social media, and no matter what you're doing, you're still connecting through your referrals. So make value propositions to your customers is one thing that he mentioned through that referral. So instead of just sending them, you know, something that's about you, make it more about them, or give them something that's going to be good for them, like that boat cruise Chris mentioned. Anything that's going to be more about them and less about you. That Christmas card that he talked about. If you're going to send out a Christmas card, don't send out a Christmas card with your business card inside of it. Don't send it out as a Christmas card that is business orientated. Send out a Christmas card with a picture of you and your family, and that's it. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever you're going to say on the message, but send it out like you send it out to your best friend. Send it out like you send it out to your aunt or your grandma. Okay, send it the same way, I think, is really important. So being on a personal level instead of always being business, I think is really, really important. The other thing I think he mentioned is getting a coach or a mentor and how important that is. He's got a coach. I know, and I've talked to Chris several times about his coach and how his coach has pushed him along the way and helps him get to that next step. And his mentor, the current business owner of the MLS Online, how that person has really helped push him to his where he's at today. So very important as well is to get a coach or get a mentor. And the last thing that he talked about is your systems and making sure you have the right systems in place in order for your business to run. And one of his regrets he talked about was not having those systems in place at an earlier phase in his career. And now that he's got his systems in place, things are going a lot more smoothly. He's got a team of four other agents and everybody in his team. And I know from talking with him recently, everybody in his team is hitting their performance numbers and they're creating that together. They've got a system, they've got a process on how to create all that. So having your system in place is extremely valuable as well. So systems, coach and mentor, and referrals, definitely three very valuable things. And no matter what type of business you're going to be in, helping you grow. So I appreciate you taking your time out of the day, your day to listen to us. And please go on to iTunes or wherever you listen and give us a 5-star rating review. You're going to help us build our network and help us push this show. And I would love for you to share this out on social, on whatever channels you're on, and send it out to all your friends on Facebook and LinkedIn and wherever else you're connected. So have a fantastic day. Remember, make every day a Saturday. I am Todd Dexheimer signing out. Want to learn more about real estate investing? Tune in to the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless. Joe has the longest daily running podcast on iTunes, well over 1,000 episodes. You can listen to me on Joe's podcast, episode 1015, where Joe interviews me and asks me about my best real estate investing advice. Joe has interviewed fantastic guests such as Emmett Smith, Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran, all kinds of fantastic guests. Make sure that you go on to Joe's podcast, subscribe, give him a 5-star rating and review. You do not want to miss out on a fantastic podcast, the best real estate investing advice ever with Joe Fairless.